City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We are talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Peter Maverick.
I'm Amy Matheny. This Queer Cast is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Always worth it. American Airlines, offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aa.com/rainbow.
Listening to the Windy City Queercast. This is show 183. I'm Peter Maverick.
And I'm Amy Matheny.
Hi.
Hi, baby. You sound sniffly.
You know what?
In the cold.
It's.
How's that neti pot working for you?
Good. But I was dusting and cleaning today, so, yeah. You know, the sniffles come and go, and then you get in the air of your house. I have to change all the filters on my furnace, too.
Yeah.
I need to work on that.
You should do those every couple of months.
I know, and it's time. That's sort of how I know. I'm like, oh, I'm sneezy. So,
you're
yeah.
Sneezy.
It's that time. So, the writer's strike, it looks like it's coming to a close.
Some new TV on the horizon.
I know. My America's Next Top Model is starting, though, just in a couple weeks, which is shocking.
So they probably have all theirs in the can. Yeah. They were probably done before the strike even happened.
Yeah. I guess it's, they had a little bit of contention for a while because they were trying to figure out who, you know, a lot of reality shows actually do have writing staffs. Because they're the ones who weave what's going on in the captured footage into a story, and they put it together. So Tyra had a big problem with this, like cycle 6 or cycle 5, I think, with what was going on. And around that time, a lot of like survivory people and whatnot decided that they were going to formalize their contracts with the writers at that time.
Yeah.
So it was kind of interesting that, you know, that all started to go down a long time ago, and then we had this big brouhaha.
Yeah.
Most recently.
Well,
so.
Most stuff, I think, with, you know, this is one of the big topics for the strike is about reality show writers, and because now reality television is such a big thing. So the fact that they have writers for American Idol and they have writers for all these quote-unquote reality shows from Big Brother to Survivor to, I mean, somebody has to write all that stuff.
Amazing Race, blah, blah, blah.
Somebody has to write all that copy, know what they hope the trajectory and the narrative of the show is going to be in for the entire season. I mean, we're lucky that we've had shows like America's Top Models kind of come out. We've had The L Word come back on with new episodes. Lost just recently started up, which is so good this year. Oh my God,
ever.
I can't believe you've never watched. You're such a sci-fi, cybery, techno-y guy. It's so...
But it's dirty people on an island. Blech.
No, it's some hot dirty people on an island. Plus, it's just constantly changing. They kill characters and bring characters on, and it's just that it continues to get infused with new blood. There's some really interesting new characters this year.
You know, and I know you're a
and so multicultural, and so you know, so many different experiences and voices.
But I know you're a big ABC fan. But there is not a single show I watch on ABC regularly ever.
Really?
Ever.
What do you watch?
I watch Food Network, and I watch a lot of sci-fi, Nat Geo, Discovery.
Yeah.
I like those ones that show you like how bicycles are made or how car parts are made. But I've gone mostly to the documentary side of things. I watch IFC all the damn time.
Yep.
We watch Nova. IFC a lot. Nova Frontline is my favorite show of all time on television. There's really nothing that I think is ever going to replace that. That is the show that I think everyone who watches television should be watching that show because it is the 2020, the Dateline, the Nightline, with no bias. They're really, really non-opinionated, and they do a pretty damn good job of showing both sides, except in the case of that asshole Bush is in office. Then they really just peel back the layers of the onion, and you can see the naked truth inside of it. But that show, to me, is what quintessentially informational television should be about.
Yeah.
So I really, really, really do dig that one. But I'm happy that stuff is going to come back.
They're saying most shows are going to resume their full schedule in April, May. Mm. So we're still going to have to wait a couple of months. Yeah. We're still going to have, you know, 6 weeks to still start watching some DVDs or some catch up on some seasons that you haven't watched. Rent the box sets.
Hopefully Dirty Sexy Money will be coming back. That I watched.
It is actually not coming back. I don't think until the fall is what the buzz is that it's not going to come back this season.
So there we go. That's the only ABC show that I watch.
No Grey's Anatomy.
I never watched
Desperate Housewives.
No.
No Ugly Betty.
No.
Wow.
Not at all.
Brothers and Sisters. None of the shows with gay people on them. Interesting. Mm-mm. Not of interest.
Not on the broadcast networks.
What do you watch on the non-broadcast networks that have gay people on them?
Logo stuff. The cartoon.
The new big gay sketch comedy launched this week. And a friend of mine and Kelly's, Coleman Domingo, is one of the cast regulars
now.
He does Maya Angelou and reading personals. Men Seeking Men personals.
Awesome.
You came over.
I haven't watched it yet.
You peed on me. It's like he's got the turban on his head. It's hilarious.
Brilliant, brilliant. What I don't understand, though, logistically, like, you know, the television seasons are all spread out now. Everything's changed, right? But I wonder, with this influx of people coming back to the studio and doing everything, like, you know, it doesn't just happen in a void. Lost doesn't just have a Lost studio. Lost shares studio space with all these other shows.
Well,
so I wonder,
Lost films in Hawaii, so they share studio space with nobody, and most of it is outdoor.
Baywatch Hawaii. No.
Yeah, it's most of it shot there. I mean, a lot of stuff shoots in Canada because it was cheaper. Now the dollar is so damn weak, it's probably not cheaper for them to be in Canada.
But you see what I'm saying, right? If all these shows are starting to come back to production, it's going to be, I think logistically it would be difficult for all these various editors and service people and all the services that support the television industry to sort of mobilize to action, because it's really now going to be everybody's trying to get their work done, get their work cut.
People are going to cut their seasons. I mean, there are seasons that would have been 22 episodes are maybe going to be 15 or 16 this year. So I don't think there's going to be any loss for space. I mean, that town, that's all every square foot does is create some sort of entertainment. So, and most of it is now. I mean, there are shows being filmed in Utah and Colorado, a lot in Canada. Mm. I mean, Lost, as I said, is in Hawaii. You know, so there's more stuff shooting in Chicago, more stuff shooting in New York.
Yep.
So, you know, I think people are going to be glad to have people off the highways and into buildings.
Well, I predict that it's going to be the year of the independent film really coming as we get on the other side of this cycle
and
next year.
Why are you independent? Why that?
Because it takes a lot more to mobilize a film than it does to mobilize television. And if the writers have been not working on film so much, that I doubt there's enough in the can. So I think it's gonna. It's
I think we're just gonna,
gonna go
have
to the
a we're gonna have a period where there's not gonna be any, there's not gonna be as many new films. Mm-hmm. I mean, and who's probably gonna really notice it are the people who go to movies all the time and the critics, because there's gonna be a period where it's gonna be less to talk about, because even independent writers are in the union. So it doesn't matter if you make, you know, if you make on average $50,000 a year, $5 million a year as a writer, there's no discrepancy in there. You wouldn't have crossed that picket line to write. So,
but you don't have to be in the union to produce a film.
It's, well, I mean, if you want to, I mean, not to make like a truly independent film, but there aren't that many truly independent films that people put money behind anymore and put stock behind and the studios buy. I mean, there may be a bigger flood of stuff at Sundance and stuff
that's
like that.
That's my guess.
It'll just depend on if Hollywood wants to get behind that, or they're really holding all their dollars for whatever they've had and are eager and waiting to push out. Mm-hmm. You know, some television shows are going to get kicked off because of this too. It's going to, things that were weak, the weaker will die. The origin of the species, they'll go the wayside. Hey, speaking of which, the presidential campaign continues and Mitt Romney out of the race on the Republican side.
Gone.
Interesting that McCain and Huckabee, they just went through the three-state primary this past weekend, and Huckabee and McCain really splitting, with Huckabee winning a couple of key states. Mm-hmm. And then Clinton, I mean, just losing all three to Obama in this primary. And
but she's still in, she's still ahead in the number of delegates that she has.
Yes.
Overall.
Basically.
But
barely.
It's
They're
so
almost
close,
even
yeah.
now. But I have to say, and I can't even remember because I'm talking about it so much, if I've talked about this in the past couple of shows, but I am just so, I'm so irate right now at the overt sexism that's going on in the media. I can't even stand it with Hillary Clinton. How many negative stories are coming out about her and positive stories are coming out about Obama?
Do you think that's a sexist?
Oh, I definitely think that's a sexist Why? Thing. Well, MSNBC, I saw you were on their website just yeah. a minute ago. You know, the big thing that happened last week where someone was interviewing John McCain and said something about what if he has to run against that bitch? And
wow.
literally not even... I think it was MSNBC. If I'm misspeaking, I apologize. It was some...
Fox.
It wasn't Fox. That was what was
shocking.
Surprising. It wasn't Fox. I'm almost positive. But then also, I definitely know this was MSNBC. A spokesperson said that she was pimping out Chelsea for the... Like Chelsea
wow.
was 12, you know, and wasn't a young woman
wow.
with her own thing. And Hillary's asked for... he has been suspended, the newscaster who said that on MSNBC. And Hillary said, you know, no amount of apology is really acceptable based on that of mm-hmm. calling, basically, you know, calling my daughter,
calling my daughter
a whore and me her pimp. You know, there is some overt sexism that shows that in America, racism truly is more palatable than sexism in this country. And the fear and the retaliation against a woman. I have yet to have anybody when I say, I was just sitting in a Starbucks with some friends the other night. And I was asking a young man, I said, you know, do you mind me asking who you're voting for? And I said, you're probably an Obama guy. And he goes, actually, I'm a Hillary guy, white, mm-hmm. young, 20-something male. And we were discussing it. And he said, you know, what's interesting is I asked one of my friends, you know, well, what if Hillary got the nomination? And this friend who is supporting Barack Obama, his friend mm-hmm. was supporting Barack Obama, said, well, I would vote for McCain. And said,
interesting.
Well, why would you vote for McCain? You know, I said, well, I don't like Hillary. Hmm. You know, and I just don't understand what this hatred of her is, that people cross party lines. I've yet to have anybody say, this is why I hate her.
Oh,
this
okay.
is what she's done.
Okay, then I will.
And I've even
will.
Gone to factcheck.org and trying to find out why people, quote unquote, hate her yeah. based on any kind of policy, or it's not based on
website.
Any kind of policy.
I got a website. I got a gentleman who did a wonderful exposition on why he feels that we should vote for Barack over Hillary. And her spin is different than his spin. That's the gist of the issue. The way she spins things is very different than his, and to some people it leaves a bad taste in their mouth. And they're all politicians, and politicians spin things however they want to spin them. But it was just an interesting, I came across it because I subscribe to a lot of blogs, and it came up in my RSS feeder, and I read the transcript, and I was like, wow, this is the first person I've seen to quantify
right.
why he favors Obama over Hillary
right.
Clinton.
But it's still, once again, if you're talking about spin, it's still a personal thing. And for me, that's so shocking that would make somebody hate somebody or make somebody jump party lines. Because I think the majority of people would be happy with either candidate and are thrilled. I think people that are going to vote Democratic are enthused for the first time in over, you know, almost a couple of decades.
Evils.
It's not the lesser of two evils. It's not like just trying to find somebody that can barely beat the horrific person on the Republican
right.
side. Because to many people, McCain's not a horrific choice, mm-hmm. not like a Bush choice. But I just find it very shocking, this literally palpable hatred of this woman that I yet have found anybody say, this is why we hate her. And yet, they'd probably vote for her husband if it was Barack
sure.
and Bill, you know, and yet they hate her because of something attached to her husband, and yet they would vote for him. And it's kind of baffling to me. And I mean, you know, I would be happy with either of those candidates, you know. I mean, I have a preference. Right now I'm definitely a Hillary supporter, but I think it's very interesting, this hatred, because if Barack Obama got the nomination, I'd be enthused and I would get
right.
behind that campaign.
Mm-hmm.
But it's this little nexus of people that I know are saying they would jump over and vote for McCain, or just this, they wouldn't get behind Hillary, that I find so so fascinating. And I mean, there have been some really interesting articles. Dee Dee Myers wrote for Vanity Fair, the old Clinton advisor. Mm-hmm. She has actually said she's not know which candidate she's endorsing.
Yeah.
But the sexism is so overt. Erica Jong just put out something in the Washington Post this past week about it. You know, that we would never, ever, ever hear a newscaster say to another one with Obama, you know, call him the N-word.
Right.
But nobody even... McCain didn't say that's absolutely, you know, mm-hmm. please do not use that kind of language about a fellow presidential candidate. You know, I mean, God forbid we ever had a gay person as a candidate and they were called a dyke or a faggot.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's ostensibly what they're doing to Hillary Clinton. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty shocked and appalled by it, because whatever you think of her politics, I think it's pretty poor policy and just poor ethics to be name calling in that
but
way.
Not to defend them and not to justify what anybody said, but if you flip on the radio or you flip on the television, we are calling women bitches everywhere. We're doing it all the time.
Yep.
We're doing it so.
But this is what I mean.
Yeah, I mean, this is the problem. This is the crux, I think, of the issue. That it's there. It's something we do. People are using it. People use what is the most popular form of music right now? Hip hop.
Right, but Don Imus, I'm saying, like with Don Imus calling those women the N word. Let's say that it was worse, that everybody kept talking about in these rap songs that they were called bitches and hoes, that community.
Mm-hmm.
So it already shows that, you know, that even in the African-American community, what is lesser than is a woman.
Sure.
So
it's been that way for a long time.
I'm just saying it's still pretty shocking that mm-hmm. to me, our dirty laundry is being aired in this way with a woman who is a viable bid for a presidential candidate and deserves to have that. And they always say, you know, the liberal media, and then there's Fox, but it's very, 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 very shocking. I challenge any of you listening to the next time you hear the two of them, see how many positives they'll say about Barack Obama and how many negatives they'll say about Hillary.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather us get down to the core issues. You know, the one thing, my challenge to him would be, you need to get more specific with your policies. Mm-hmm. Now it's time. You can motivate people all you want, but what are you going to do? And how clearly can you say what you're going to do? Because that's a strength of hers. You know, so I don't know. I'd rather this be waged. I was writing an email, which I still not sent out to my friends, but to say, you know, we voted Bush in because he was likable and we want to have a beer with him. And I'd like to know today how many people like him and who's had a fucking beer with him. You know, we cannot vote people based on likability. And I think there's a bit of that going on with Barack.
Sure.
And yet I think he is a strong candidate. But mm-hmm. being used, I guess, it's being used more as a weapon against Hillary mm-hmm. as opposed to...
Sure. His charisma, it's only going to take him... so far in my book.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's a very, very interesting times we live in, that's the question.
It's so strange though. I guess I've been really shocked by it by the sexism of it. And I don't know why. I guess I just,
it's so everywhere.
Well, you're a man. And so you see it. I am a gay woman who is a pretty independent and
I also work with a lot of Europeans who are, if you think we're bad in this country.
No, I'm sure.
Oof.
Oof. No, I'm sure.
Can I just tell you how horrible, horrible it is there?
Yeah.
Horrible it is in Japan.
Yeah.
Women aren't even second-class citizens. They're third-class citizens.
Yeah.
So it's...
Well, it's going to come down to a lot of white men this election. It's going to come down...
It always has.
Yeah.
And let's call a spade a spade.
And I think, you know, it's interesting that the Latino population has no problem with a woman. Is that more their racism against African Americans, or is that the, you know, how they revere women at times in a different way.
I mean, you can look along a lot of lines there, but, you know, in other countries, there have been women in power in other Latin American countries for a very long time.
Well, and in European countries as well. Mm-hmm. That's the shocking thing, is that we seem to be the greatest country on earth, and yet we need to mm-hmm. make this about, you know, the fact that, I don't know. I feel like it would be a huge change to have either one of these people in the White House, and not more of a change to have Barack in the White House. I don't feel like it'd be more of a change to have him in the White House than it would be to have a woman.
Hmm.
But I'm a woman. So, you know, I think that either would be massively a different resounding change to the world and also to our country and to women.
Yeah.
or men, or the African American community.
Well, I think just in general, however the axe falls.
He's pretty like a girl though, so maybe he's got pretty hands like a girl.
I do not think he's attractive.
Oh,
whatsoever.
Really?
I do. Not
I think he's quite pretty, and I've met him in person.
I've met him in person.
He's quite pretty in person. He's got the most beautiful hands of anybody. You can see when he talks. I think his hands are so sexy.
And when I shook his hand, he was looking over my shoulder to see the next person to talk to, and that still sticks with me.
Yeah,
that still sticks with me. That's very much his, and I've heard that a similar sentiment from many people I know.
Well, he doesn't look straight. You know, he never looks straight. Watch every speech he ever does. He looks at teleprompter right, teleprompter mm-hmm. left, teleprompter right, teleprompter left. You mm-hmm. will never see him look directly into the camera mm-hmm. and talk to through the camera. Mm. He cannot take his eyes off teleprompter right, teleprompter mm-hmm. left. It's fascinating. I brought it up to Kelly, and now it drives her crazy because every primary she's watching, she's like, look, center.
We were watching last night which we have to talk about. We'll talk about later in the show. But we were watching some post-primary coverage last night, and it was interesting. There's been studies, and I think you know this. I think we've talked about this before, that people who blink a lot aren't to be trusted.
Oh, really?
This is perception. If you blink a lot, people don't trust you. There are people when they're learning to be newscasters and they're in the industry, mm-hmm. they learn how not to blink when reading. They learn when reading the teleprompter.
Oh, really?
They learn, it's very...
Context, I don't blink a lot, I don't think, because of context. I wink a lot, though.
But
what does that mean? That I'm just a big flirt?
No.
I'm a big hoe. I'm a big bitch and hoe.
If you just got context right, that's acceptable. But over time, as you your eyes get used to context, it doesn't make you blink any more or less than a regular person.
Oh, really?
It's part of who you are. So there are people who they train to be likable and to be trustable, and you know, the most likable image in all of American television, this even go back to sort of lawyer theory and legal mm-hmm. theory, which is hysterical that Jen Perillo, who we had on the show, brought it up in her book, that people like larger white men who don't blink a lot. They're
larger
the most friendly
men.
People.
Because Hillary Clinton is kind of bug-eyed, so she doesn't blink much at all.
She doesn't.
She's obviously extremely trustworthy.
Right. Well, compared to Obama, he actually blinks a lot compared to her when you just look at them. So then
there are some people who say, I don't like Barack Obama because there's something I just don't trust. And I hear that a lot from liberals mm-hmm. And conservatives who just mm-hmm. quite don't know what to make of him. I think for conservatives, it's more because of this momentum and power and that he's young and energized. Mm-hmm. But there's some other people who are just like, I don't know what it is. I can't put my finger on it. I think it's going to come out, but
watch Oprah.
I don't feel like that.
Watch Oprah. She doesn't blink hardly ever. She really does not blink very much at all. Hmm. Watch the people who you consider trust. Watch the Katie Couric's, watch the Matt Lauer's, watch anybody you're watching on television, watch them. And the way you'll know if they're blinking a lot is every time you see them blink, you have to say the word blink. And if you're just...
Is this a drinking game?
No.
Were
but
you
if
playing
you're just,
this at the North
no,
End
no,
last
no, no,
night?
No, if you're just sitting there saying blink, 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 oh my God, this person blinks a lot. But when you watch Clinton, it's blink, blink. It's very spread
I think
out.
She's extremely trustworthy. I mean, within the political machine but, that she knows how to manipulate.
I mean, let the record show it has nothing at all to do with whether or not she is. It has to do with the appearance of whether or not she is.
I don't know. I guess people feel like she's... I think people trust her experience and feel, I don't know.
I don't know. But this is all about perceptions. When we're talking television, it's all about this two-dimensional little thing.
But, you know, we as people don't always lean towards people that are most trustworthy.
It depends
on our intimacy level and that we don't like people who are very trustworthy or how we feel about ourselves and our self-esteem. And as a nation, we don't feel very good about our self-esteem. So we pick people who are not... God, Bush is like a flickering firefly.
He blinks all the time.
Doesn't
so I'm telling you, pay attention to people and your perception of them, and then watch how they blink. It's this weird, weird subliminal thing. But so just check it out. News anchors don't blink a lot. The sort of special investigators, they blink a lot. It's not okay. it's a credibility thing. So check it out. It's 'cause, which is why I like radio and podcasting, because you can't see what my eyes are doing at all.
I can see what your eyes are
doing.
Well,
no, but they can't. People listening to us can't see what my eyes are doing.
I don't ever think about you blinking. Now I'm just going to spend the rest of the show going,
I'm telling
blink,
everybody does it.
Blink.
Obama's really good. Like you said, he switches between monitors, and what he's really doing is taking that blink and shifting his gaze. But he's not doing the blink when he's looking in one direction.
I don't know. It drives me nuts. I just want Obama, if you're listening, Barack, and I know you listen to our Queercast on your truck.
He better.
On your bus.
I sent him several notices about digital rights and paying attention to these issues.
And
his people emailed me back.
I think that you need to look forward. If you're going to take us forward, if you are the forward motion of the country, please look forward and stop looking right and left. I don't mind if you look at your teleprompter, but memorize one sentence and say it forward. It's not that hard. You won't lose your place, I promise.
It's the reassurance of the teleprompter that keeps him in. But we have so much to talk about because we went to a fabulous event.
We'll talk about that.
It's an all-talk show today. We've got some news and some theater and, you know.
We'll be back.
The little bits and pieces.
We're bringing to you.
Every night at the LaSalle Bank Theater, the curtain goes up on Jersey Boys, and something amazing happens. The music plays, and the story unfolds. As the show flies by, four blue-collar kids turn into pop superstars, and 2,000 ticket holders turn into Jersey Boys fanatics. I love you, baby, and if it's quite all right, ask anyone who's seen it, like critic Chris Jones in the Tribune, who calls Jersey Boys the most exciting new musical in years. Or Hetty Weiss in the Sun-Times, who says, this show is pure platinum, a supercharged knockout. Don't wait another minute to get your tickets. Jersey Boys, see it now. Just call 312-902-1400 or visit BroadwayInChicago.com today.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club.
Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative. Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of February 11th, 2008, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
The Tony Award-winning musical comedy favorite La Cage aux Folles is playing now at the Theater at the Center, conveniently located in nearby Munster, Indiana. The New York Post says this is Jerry Herman's best musical yet, happier and more assertive, more buoyant than Hello Dolly or MAME. So don't miss La Cage aux Folles. Call now 219-836-3255 or visit theateratthecenter.com.
Writers Theater presents The Turn of the Screw from the story by Henry James. Time Out Chicago calls it surprisingly and creepily suggestive. An unsuspecting governess is hired to look after two seemingly innocent children who soon reveal terrifying secrets. The Sun-Times raves, eerie as ever, Screw will mesmerize you. For tickets to The Turn of the Screw, go to writerstheater.org or call 847-242-6000.
About Face Theater presents the Tony Award-nominated play The Little Dog Laughed. The Tribune calls his play hip, sharp, and funny, and the Sun-Times says it's 2007's hottest gay play. Can a hot Hollywood actor keep his sexuality under wraps? The Little Dog Laugh closes this week, February 17th, at the Hoover Leppin Theater at the Center on Halsted. Visit AboutFaceTheater.com.
And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
The first masterpiece from the legendary team of Tim Rice and Andrew Lloyd Webber. Jesus Christ Superstar, featuring Ted Neely, the star of the groundbreaking motion picture, and introducing Corey Glover of Living Color as Judas.
February 19th through 24th at the Cadillac Palace Theater. For tickets, visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
Jesus Christ Superstar, timeless and for our time.
And this is your Windy City Queercast News.
After a U.S. district judge lifted a temporary injunction, Oregon became the ninth state to offer some form of spousal rights for same-sex couples. As of February 4th, couples in Oregon can now register as domestic partners. In 2004, a constitutional ban on same-sex marriage was passed. However, in 2007, the state legislature passed a domestic partnership law. The Alliance Defense Fund plans to appeal this recent ruling.
The Ohio Health Department plans to study gay teen smoking habits. The state's health officials allocated $60,000 in federal dollars to study the issue. Nationwide, gay and lesbian teenagers and the GLBT community in general tend to smoke more than their straight counterparts. Ohio wants to conduct the study because it does not have any statewide data on GLBT smoking habits.
A former University of Utah employee, according to a civil lawsuit recently filed, claims she was fired because she is a lesbian. The former employee also claims she was fired because of her appearance and the fact that she cared for domesticated animals in her home instead of children, end quote. Heidi Bjornsson worked for the university's physics department and was terminated in January of 2005.
Stan McGee, one of Massachusetts Governor Devil Patrick's openly gay aides, was arrested in Florida for allegedly sexually assaulting a 15-year-old. McGee is an aide for the state's Secretary of Housing and Economic Development. He was arrested in late December.
San Jose State University President Don Kasing suspended the school's on-campus blood drive in protest of anti-gay federal donation guidelines that prohibit gay men from donating. Kasing announced his decision to students via email, writing that the federal guidelines conflict with the school's non-discrimination policy. He said that the suspension of the blood drive will continue until the Food and Drug Administration reviews its policies.
CBS's Big Brother, which will soon return to the air, features two openly gay men this season, and the show's producers are hoping to play matchmaker this season. They made all contestants fill out a love match profile as a part of their application.
And all of Paris Hilton's recent lesbian schmoozing has landed her a role on Showtime's The L Word. Hilton will guest star in a few episodes of the lesbian drama and might even be kept on as a regular cast member. Please say no, it can't get any worse. Hilton appeared at an L Word premiere party where she met the show's director and has been frequently spotted at lesbian nightclubs in various LA clubs.
Porn director Chichi LaRue recently took a stand against barebacking in the gay porn industry. LaRue's gay adult company Channel One Releasing released a new website and public service announcements that come out against the trend of barebacking videos with the message safe sex is hot sex. LaRue has come out against unsafe sex practices in the industry before.
And that's your Windy City Queercast News. Ooh.
I like that, Rex. Reminds me of Oakland, you know. Hey baby, how's your day? Come here baby, let me do your hair. Tell me poo about your worries and your cares. Explain to me exactly what you need. I'm here for you and I ain't no please. Ooh, I got your back when those fools be talking smack, cause they jealous of this thing we got. I'm the one to be giving you in the morning, in the evening, and baby I got what you need. You never have to worry about a thing because it's all about you and me, and baby we gon' do our thing.
So, I'm still a little horned up.
Are you a little horned up?
I was a little horned up the other night.
Tell everybody where we went.
We went to the Park West for the Test Positive Awareness Network's big new gala that they're putting on. It is called Chicago Takes Off. It's a wonderful...
One night only.
So we had Todd Keach and Keith Elliott on along with Rhett Lindsay, the dreamy Rhett Lindsay. Is he not the cutest thing in the world?
He's cute.
So handsome.
Y'all had matching hair.
He's so... I know.
You had matching heads.
I was like, yay, we can both be military together. Rhett is the director of special events, and Keith and Todd actually put the entire show together. They're wonderful choreographers, wonderful directors, putting everything together. This all bloomed out of a concept that happens in New York called Broadway Bears, Equity Fights AIDS. And it's a big striptease and burlesque show. And there was some aerial acts. It was just start to finish. It was a very, very entertaining show. And every single thing was donated. Which
That's
is wonderful.
Just amazing.
It's wonderful. It's all for TPAN, the Test Positive Awareness Network, who do great work in the community. They've been doing great work. They're celebrating 20 years.
20 years. How does it compare with Broadway Bears? Because you've been to Broadway Bears in New York. Is it similar, or is Broadway Bears more kind of Broadway-ish?
Yeah,
and show-tune-y
It's more. Everything is a big musical act.
Yeah.
It's more. And Chicago Takes Off will get there. I mean, this
is
only its
takes
second
off,
year.
It has a different vibe, and what I gather from your thing with Broadway Bears is that it is focusing on theater and Broadway musicals. And what I like about Chicago is that I think it's going to have its own flavor, which we are actually a superior dance city.
Absolutely.
And I felt like, what I was seeing mostly last night was a lot less stripping. I didn't feel like, and I actually didn't think that the numbers that had more what I would call quote unquote stripping, like the guy in the Lucite tub being champagne poured on, went like on 3.5 minutes too long for me, but I'm a woman and a lesbian. But I felt like it was
get a girl up there for you next year.
But even that, I'd be like, okay, now she's wet. And who gets to go drink her? I mean, I don't understand. But but I thought what they did really well was tapping into different kinds of dance. And to me, it was more of a dance show where at some point people disrobed maybe more than they would have. Apart from things like Michelle L'Amour, who did her balloon number, which I've seen her
that,
do before, which
I think
is fantastic.
Was the best one of the evening.
Yeah, her Snow
say.
White's pretty fucking fabulous
Ooh.
Too. She does kind of her naughty Snow White. She has a couple of numbers that are kind of her trademark numbers, but you know, but I felt like, you know, really just having all the different forms of dance, mm-hmm. from hip hop to kind of more of calisthenic dance. Then they had some point work. They mm-hmm. had a lot of straight ahead kind of theatrical mm-hmm. dance, showgirl dance, and then they had
a lot of comedy,
modern dance, and pop dancing. So mm-hmm. I felt like it was more a celebration of the right. flavors of dance in this town, where and we have so many right. fantastic dance companies here.
What are Todd and Keith, choreographers with Dance for Life, the original founders? Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah. That's, I mean, that's what I mean. Yeah. Like, they don't need to be mm-hmm. Broadway bears. They don't need mm-hmm. to give us big theatrical show tune numbers, because our flavor mm-hmm. can, I think, be a little more multicultural and a mm-hmm. little more from different communities that kind of make up Chicago. Mm-hmm. And I kind of loved that. Yeah. My favorite number was wear a couple of swells, or no, we'll walk down the avenue,
yeah,
which is the other
Patrick Russo, doing just a brilliant Judy Garland,
yeah,
really super fun,
just great. That was my great. I loved that. He was just, I mean, his lip syncing was flawless, down to like the hiccups and the breathing and the whole nine yards, and the guys dancing as the clowns that then mm-hmm. got just
to a live track. Actually, that was a live recorded track.
Well, it was fantastic.
I believe it was from the Judy Garland show.
I'm sure actually. It is.
Yeah, and
it was very
just, it was
famous.
Awesome.
I remember seeing it. Maybe it was the Carol Burnett and Judy show when she did that. Maybe it was earlier than that. I can't remember, but it's a famous number that she did. Mm-hmm. And really just, that was a very cleverly choreographed mm-hmm. number. Like,
and lots of pretty bodies. Lots of pretty bodies.
Lots of pretty bodies. That Candyman guy, good Lord, he was pretty. And yes. There was the three black dancers who came out and did a very long number. I can't remember what it was, with the point dancers and the mm-hmm. and the showgirls, and there was mm-hmm. like a lot going on. But there was one that was just the sweetest little baby. He was so cute. He was so cute.
He has a little puckish lip, and it comes out. But it, you know,
and Jessica Hallam did a great job hosting.
How fabulous is she?
She looked great, and I loved the clown. I mean, not the clown, the magician Tomas.
I've seen him at the Lakeshore at every show I've been to the Lakeshore
really
in the last
charming.
2 years. So funny. So and. You know, magic, it can go one or two ways really quick.
Yeah.
It can get really super
incredibly
cheesy.
Engaging.
But he's so with it. He knows how to manage the crowd. He was perfect. And he's not David Copperfield. It's not all about, like, girls cutting off their heads and running around.
He's definitely about personality, whereas Copperfield has no personality. Yeah. It's all about the illusion and the art. His was totally about the personality. Mm-hmm. Charisma,
the humor, and he's so funny, and he's so cute as a button, and
he looks like Rick Moranis.
He's
like a little Rick Moranis.
He looks like a cute Rick Moranis.
Yeah, a cute little Rick Moranis.
And he's got hairy legs, which does it for me. So.
Really?
I like fur.
There wasn't a lot of fur on that stage. There was,
no,
except for the
there
bears.
Wasn't. That was the problem.
The bear like us.
This is the problem. I don't understand this. Why do I? I don't know. Do you have a preference with girls? I mean, is there a fur thing, or is no fur better, or is hair better? I don't. Are you like under hair?
I do not like under
okay.
arm hair, and I don't like. I mean,
furry crotch. Or, well, you're blonde, so you don't really have a big problem there.
I don't have a big problem there, and I date a blonde, so we don't have a big problem there. But I like a smooth leg, and I like a shaved armpit. But on a guy. Unless you're like a bodybuilder, it's a bit odd to see all these men like not have.
I feel like they're like 12 if they don't have body hair.
I feel like it's a little strange when they don't have a drop of chest hair or. Yeah.
Well, you know, neck to ankles, a lot of boys get it waxed or shaved.
Oh God!
Seriously, and over the last year, it's gotten worse. But you know, so many people have tattoos now, so they want to make sure they show off whatever tattoo that they have, and things like that. Which is, I can understand that for that reason. But
when they started blending, it was the good that they had tattoos, because sometimes I was like, was that the same guy? No, right. That guy had a tattoo on his arm. That guy had a tattoo on his ass. Right. That guy had a tattoo on his back.
Now I recognize which one is which.
No, very few people did more than just their one thing. I mean, that was kind of the cool thing was everybody kind of came out and did their one thing, and there were so many people involved. Mm-hmm. So you got to see a plethora of tattoos last night.
Yeah.
I realized I'm one of the few tattoo-less people I know.
I am tattooless, and I will stay tattooless until the day I'm put in the ground. I don't ever want.
Is that a religious thing, or you just can't commit?
It's neither of those answers. Fuck you very much. No.
What
I
answer
just,
is
I don't
it?
Think,
then? That's usually...
I don't think tattoos look pretty. I don't. I just don't enjoy them. I don't find any of them intriguing. I think that over time, I mean, after 10 years, a tattoo becomes very ugly looking, and you have to get another one to touch it up. I don't know. I just don't find anything intriguing about that. The beautiful tattoos that I have seen in my life are like the full body pieces, mm-hmm. like the really intense, like you're going, like your entire body is covered. I think that's amazing.
I have a friend who has sleeves. my friend Elizabeth.
But I just don't know. It's not. I've never liked them. I've never really enjoyed tattoos. And I'm not saying that people who have tattoos are bad people. Whatever, it's your body, you choose. But if my preference is going to be, you know, I'm going to remain clean, and I'm gonna not that a tattoo makes you dirty. Well, you know,
You're not that clean, Peter Maverick. We hear about your sex life.
I know, but I like my skin. I like my skin. I think my skin is great. I have a lot of freckles. I have a lot of dots. I really like them.
We could just connect the dots, and like you could be like those that when they look up at the stars and they have the whole skies aligned.
This is the constellation.
And then we go, this is the constellation of Uranus.
This is Maverick.
The Maverick. Maverick is a big old swan on his.
Yeah, it's never been my thing. I just don't really enjoy it. And if I'm looking at two boys and one of them does, I've broken up with people because I haven't really realized they had tattoos.
Have you really?
I have.
Peter Maverick. That's
I have.
Shallow.
It
Seriously?
Is.
Seriously?
It is. It
Are
is
you shallow.
Shallow. It is.
You've broken up with people. That's a big different answer than like, I just don't want to sleep with them.
Well, no, we sort of start dating and then we do a little of this and do a little of that. And I'm like, wow, you have a tattoo? Mm-mm.
Seriously.
Yeah. There's some deeper issues there. But the other thing I have to say that, you know, since I've become such a Japanophile, in a lot of hot springs, you can't wear you can't have tattoos and go in the hot springs.
Can you cover it
they
up?
No, you have to be naked to go in the hot spring.
Oh.
So it kind of excludes you. So that's another reason why I don't want to. That's just me, though.
So the Japanese frown on them. Why is that?
It's a sign of gangsters. Yakuza.
Even way back. Didn't they
It is the original sign of clan and doing it, you know, when you rewind and you go back into the feudal era in Japan, it wasn't the common people. It wasn't the samurai who had tattoos. It was the people who were on the fringes, and that's how they marked themselves and distinguished themselves.
Well, that's exactly in the film with Viggo Mortensen that he does, the Russian film, you know, the Russian mob. And I mean, any kind of mobs. I mean, that's a true statement that the tattoos are a demarcation.
It's a brotherhood or a right.
You know, obviously in the Holocaust, the Jews being tagged as well. Mm-hmm. But that is interesting. I'm a little shocked that you have broken up with relationships over tattoos. I haven't dated a lot of tattooed people.
I haven't either, obviously.
But I haven't dated that many people. So, I mean, they've become trendy since... They've become trendy, I think, in the past, you know, especially so trendy in since 2000.
Yeah, it was so funny. I was in New York this past summer with someone, and... someone I didn't know very well. And he was like, it's so urban here. And I was like, no, just almost all the gay boys have tattoos here. That's what you're trying to say.
Oh,
like,
really?
It's not an urban rural thing. It's just like almost all the gay boys have tattoos. And when it comes summertime and you look around the clubs, everyone's got pictures on their arms, on their legs, on their backs, on their stomachs, on their...
But my whole thing is like, how do you commit? How do you commit to going, that's the tattoo I want? And I always worry about poor Drew Barrymore because she's got like the butterflies and stuff on her belly, and whenever she gets pregnant, thank God she's never had a baby, but that thing is going to turn into like Silence of the Lambs, like that moth that they were shoving down people's throats.
She goes from a butterfly to a bat.
It's going
to
be awful looking. And then when her belly shrinks back, is it going to like look all like it's one of those moths that hits your windshield? I mean, like squat. I don't know. This is the whole thing, you know.
It becomes like one of those salt and pepper Industrial Revolution moths.
Yeah, I'm just scared of pain. I don't really want one, and I don't really feel like I can commit. But I think henna tattoos are awesome.
I think it's beautiful. I've had my arms henned before.
Yeah.
And I think it's an awesome thing, but it's temporary, and I think that's the novelty of it.
Does Brad Pitt have tattoos? Or is he tattooless and lets Angie have all of them?
No, I think he has tattoos.
Where does he have them? That's a question for anybody who might know and could post a comment on our show. Yeah. I don't know where Mr. Pitt has tattoos. I don't recall seeing tattoos on him, except maybe in a film, but then they can put those on.
Yeah, or they fuck up his teeth a lot.
How do they cover them up on films when people have...
Oh, I know how to do that. That's easy.
They just take tape, right?
And then they put paint over the tape?
Airbrush?
No, it's Ben Nye. You can do it. They're special tattoo cover kits. The thing is, you just have to set it really well. Yeah. And in general, most stage makeup, you can set with a misting of alcohol. You know that. You're an actress.
I do know that.
You know the skills.
But with film, it's just like, having to cover them all the time, I would think, for actors.
Yeah, but that's in the contract that they had the person
to... sit in the damn trailer for 6 hours. What else is there to do except get high, sleep, screw around, or have your tattoo covered? I mean...
And you've just quantified the life of an actor. There you go.
Yeah, it's a tough life.
It's okay.
It's a tough life.
And it doesn't exclude me from finding people attractive, but... but it's just not my thing. I just don't really love
it. So fascinating. This will be called the Tattoo Show, in case you want to know what it is. Still talking to Peter, things I don't know about him.
Always. You're always going to learn something new.
Every time. It's true. It's true.
Truly, truly, truly. So I think, shall we end this? I think we can shut this show down. I think we can shut it down.
I'm feeling a little cozy now. Yeah. I went to the tanning bed.
Got yourself warm.
I got myself warm.
Do you listen to music?
You know what? I do, but sometimes I'd like to be in there without any music, but I can hear other people's like bass beat or something. So I like to listen to things like Sting and India Ari. I like to listen to what I would want to listen to on the beach.
Oh, I see.
It's kind of got a bit of a kicking up the sand kind of vibe.
I listen to a lot of Brazilian on the beach.
That's the same kind of feel.
Yeah.
So I need to burn myself like some nice tracks because I'm going to Jamaica, man.
You got an iPod, so what do you need to burn?
I mean, put it in my computer and burn myself some playlists for the beach. But yeah, I like some of that kicky music. But I have to say, even watching the Oprah this past week, that we and in the world today, especially in America, we don't get enough of vitamin D. And people in Chicago, especially people who live in buildings a lot, the workaholic lifestyle that we have, that we need some vitamin D. Doesn't mean you have to get it in a tanning bed or even get it outside in the sun. And not too much, you know, but everybody got so scared of skin cancer and stuff like that, that they stopped feeling that we need a lot of vitamin D. And it's hard to get enough from our fruits and vegetables when we live. And I eat a really well-balanced diet, but it's hard to get it in Chicago. We have the sun out today and it just, I feel like it's like hallelujah, like because there's the
stream of the Lord, the light is coming.
Because for change, at night when I come home right now, those of you who aren't in Chicago, we have so much snow on the ground that everything is still white and it doesn't melt, even though it might warm up. It melts on the sidewalks and streets and then it snows again. So what's on the grass and the areas that can actually get cold enough to hold it is really thick and it's almost icy now. So coming home after the Chicago takes off the other night, Mitchell and I came back to the house and my light is burnt out over my back door that looks out over to my backyard. And I have a very big backyard. It's luminescent. It's like the Northern Lights.
Wow. So it glows.
So then the sun comes out and you feel like, wow, it's so bright. Mm-hmm. And then I go to walk my dog and I open the door to get the paper and my nose hairs go like they just shrivel and freeze up. And I'm like, you're going in the backyard, which she doesn't
below,
feel.
Baby.
She doesn't feel anything. She's just out there tromping and romping and rolling
30
around.
Below.
It's cold.
30 below with the wind chill.
Cold, cold,
craziness.
Cold.
Craziness.
But where do we live again? The greatest city in the world.
Absolutely.
The coldest
city. The windy city.
Not even called the windy city because of all this wind and snow.
No, politics. Political hot airs.
That's why we got to talk about politics.
Truth.
Just in our blood.
True dat.
All right, you guys. Have a great week. We will talk to you in our next show. So be sure to download. Bye.
And thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This show is brought to you in part by Bud Light. Bud Light, always worth it.
And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
And Broadway in Chicago, for the hottest tickets in town, visit broadwayinchicago.com.
So that's our show. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Peter Maverick. Please comment on our shows on our website and in iTunes.
The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it.
Windy City Queercast, queer and now.